God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our epistle reading, as we have the vision of St. John of what the afterlife will be like. From St. John chapter 21, he says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And then he goes into a great, beautiful imagery of what heaven is going to be like. But for today's message, we're going to pick up that concept of the bride of Christ, which is the church. I will admit, that may sound a little unusual for us to understand that the church, all believers in Christ throughout time and eternity, are considered by Christ to be his bride. St. Paul brings up this message also in a roundabout way in Ephesians chapter 5, when St. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he himself is its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In the same way, a husband should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nurtures it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And as I am saying, it refers to Christ and the church." St. Paul does a beautiful job in linking together this marriage. Believers in Christ, the bride with the groom, Christ. The spiritual marriage of the soul with Christ is taking place. Christ is the spouse of the soul, so to speak. And Christ says, "I will be married to you forever." Christ desires to be in this beautiful relationship. And if you note and remember, Jesus' very first miracle of Cana in Galilee was at a wedding. At a wedding, you have a man and a woman joined together. And in this special relationship, now God now says, "This is my relationship with you. But however, this relationship is perfect, without any stain or blemish. Therefore, we rejoice greatly in what Christ has done, and we glorify God for this special union. Because Christ is so merciful that he now clothes his church with beauty. And how wonderful it is that his mercy now extends to us. He did not hesitate, even for a moment, to pick up the church, his bride." Now, by today's human standards, many would have probably have said to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "You're marrying beneath you, because this bride that you want is a sinner, is stained and defiled with sin, brings nothing to the table, is poor and desolate. And whereas Christ has it all, he is perfect, without sin. He has all of creation. He is the one who even creates the bride. So the surpassing beauty of the bridegroom overshadows the deformity of the bride. Yet it does not stop Christ. Christ's love for the church is greater than the church's love could ever possibly be toward Christ. What a great injustice! A great for us, that is. So we consider his great love that now takes Christ from heaven above to earth below. A love that bound Christ to the cross, that told Christ to be whipped and tortured, nailed to the cross. A love that entombed him, a love that dragged him even to the depths of hell. And what led Christ to do this? A tender love for his spouse. Our hearts must be harder than stone, then, if such a great love for Christ does not draw us to God. Christ indeed has clothed us with the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness. Christ gives us his glory upon the cross because we have no glory. The church, yes, is the bride of Christ. The bride that was once stained with sin and cursed to die, eternally in debt. Now the bridegroom marries beneath himself. And so Christ now transfers his wealth, his holiness to us. As we are baptized in his name, we are now adorned with his beauty. Once we were considered cast out, now we are regenerated through holy baptism. If all of this seems too good to be true, for a moment you need to pick up the Old Testament prophet Hosea. Hosea, who was commanded by God to do what? Proclaim the word of God? Yes. But then even to demonstrate with his own life how much God loves his people. What was Hosea called to do? He was called to take for a wife that of a prostitute, Gomer. And this wasn't a story, and they lived happily ever after. No, this is a story here of earth. Gomer apparently was not satisfied and eventually left Hosea. She couldn't remain faithful. Hosea was then commanded by God to do what? Chastise her? No, buy her back. Noting the relationship that God has with his people. A people who could not remain faithful to him, even though God bestowed much riches and glory upon us. Even though God is loving and merciful, you would think that we in turn would show that love and mercy back to God. No, our hearts must be full of stone. Because, like Gomer, we also reject and leave God Almighty, the one who would want to feed us with his own body and blood to give us eternal life, the one who gives us all that we have, and yet our hearts very often walk away. Like Gomer, the church is unfaithful in its marriage vow to Christ. She, like Gomer, wants to return to the things of the world instead of the mercy and love and forgiveness that comes from Christ. But Christ again receives her. Even when she returns in true penitence, the anger of her disobedience is now driven away because of the love of Christ. So today, we pick up this concept of the bride of Christ, and we acknowledge the many instances in which we have rejected Christ's love and mercy, even though he gives it to us freely. We realize that we do not deserve them, but Christ still calls us into this relationship. We should love Christ more than we even love ourselves, but like Gomer, this is difficult for us. Even though we realize that Christ gave himself up for his bride, the church, we realize we are unworthy of his love and sacrifice, but still that does not stop Christ from loving us and wanting us and trying to be reconnected to us. Every gift and blessing we receive is a gift from God. But what do we do with these gifts, with this love and with this mercy? Very often we are still attracted to the things of this world, to the things of rebellion, to the things of sin, the things that are not. So this day we need to be reminded of St. John's picture of the bride of Christ and what heaven is truly going to be like. This special relationship, this glorious part of heaven, is given to us as a picture for us to remain faithful, to appreciate what Christ has done. Martin Luther says, "Christ became our bridegroom through faith. The devil attacks this article in thousands of ways in order to destroy it. Faith is the engagement ring which betroths us to Christ. By faith we take hold of Christ, saying to him, 'You alone ascended above.' As he also said earlier, 'No one has ascended into heaven but he who descends from heaven.'" This article of faith, that Christ is our Lord, is what makes us Christians. It is the jewel, the gem, the golden chain around the neck of the bride who believes that Christ is true God from eternity. He that descended from heaven has become incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and that he and no other ascended again into heaven. Thus he was declared the Son of God, and he sits at the right hand of his heavenly Father. So now, with the words of Luther and the words of St. John, do we believe? Do we truly trust in all the gifts and promises that God has given to us? Or would we rather be attached to the things of this world? We note very quickly that human relationships are not perfect. How many times have we heard Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5 and taking a look at those relationships of husband and wife, and we sometimes even snicker and think, yeah, this would be great, this would be ideal. But we do live in a world filled with sin. This is not perfect. So sometimes we want to even doubt whether the divine love that comes from above could really be true. We'd like to leave the divine love like Gomer did, return back to our brokenness because that's what we're comfortable with. Our sin, our embarrassments sort of make us blush in the divine love and saying, how could God love us? We didn't get what we want, and we have these certain expectations of the divine. Again, we might sit there and say, where is Christ in the midst of all this pain? Could it really be true that heaven descends to earth to reconnect with us? The picture that St. John is given is for the church, especially in the midst of persecution, a church like us today, where we have many temptations, many persecutions coming upon our faith. St. John is given this revelation as a glimpse of glory and a glimpse of hope. The church is not some self-help group or idea, but the church is designed to receive God's gifts as Christ tries to reconnect with his people. That is why we put such a strong emphasis on the divine service. We come and gather to receive this divine love, this love that comes from Christ. This is what Christ does for the church. Christ feeds and strengthens the brokenhearted. Christ shows us the promises of God fulfilled and more promises yet to come. Today's text is more of that fulfillment. So we hang on to today's revelation of St. John. We hang on to it as a glimpse of glory. In our lives, when they're filled with so much pain and brokenness, this is our future hope. To be with Christ for eternity, we are His bride. Yes, we are imperfect, but we are made perfect by His word and sacraments. So that today we come to receive that word and sacraments, to remind ourselves that, yes, Christ is coming again. That final promise, as St. John gives us a picture of the glories of heaven we hang on to, even in the midst of our pain and struggle. So we ask the Lord to continue to bless us, to continue to soften our stone-hearted hearts, so that we may receive His love and His glory and appreciate what He has done as He has made us the bride of Christ. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.